7:05, I'd like to begin. Okay. Okay, I have committee minutes.
So move.
You said you must have gotten these.
Yes.
You know, send them around.
Sorry.
Okay.
Did you second it?
Any questions? Can I get a motion to accept the minutes? Or
move and second it.
Both said? Good.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Okay.
Here we begin.
Would you like to have
Kevin
do his presentation first before? Communication between the supervisors and the two supervisors and the board members?
Yeah, that was part of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there was other communication on that. So we'll see the board meeting, obviously, so it'll be a long meeting.
Good
luck. Thank you so much. Where would we leave off with on the,
we have special meeting next Thursday, Jim.
Should we
get
a motion to put one on that on the table for discussion?
Yeah, sure.
Second. Mm-hmm. Hey, at the last meeting, the committee had asked for a list of take-home vehicles.
Right.
I feel for you. I think
we're
on this tonight. Both of the Sheriff's Department and, as you know, the Highway Department.
Okay. I might have the resolution for setting a public hearing.
Yeah,
I propose vote to what?
Yeah, let's move by Legislative Harry and second by Mr. Wrong.
Legislative Harry and
whatever you say,
so this is one change, and then we are really
sure you want to put like VIN numbers and
monitor
numbers
on those.
I think we
need to get content. Okay, energy cost. I might as well start from there from the beginning. Section 1, legislative intent and purpose. I see that the county's energy cost is estimated or totaled at $4,178,670.
Okay. So it is all the
primarily?
All.
Okay. Is there any questions? Okay?
No.
Yeah.
I would say I love speaking.
Yeah, I was going to say that, I mean, I think it's fine to say the total energy cost, but I feel like it's slightly misleading since in the previous paragraph we're talking about fuel specific to vehicles only, and this is the green fleet policy. So if we're going to say the total energy cost, I think we have to then break out the energy cost to the vehicle.
Chris, I think did you do that detail?
You did, and I apologize. I thought I had it in the packet.
But those numbers are accurate.
That's accurate, but it's a little over, and I think if we further break down, we can add the voltage of which blank is, because those nuts, they really need to pull it. Yeah, you can get the, we can sample it, we got it.
Okay. Thank you. This is just a tiny thing, but I've been trying to get this extra hybrid out of the definition of green vehicle. So it's electric drivetrains, EVs, that's fine. Then it says hybrid, hybrid electric, and hybrid vehicles. The first hybrid is extra. So going from electric vehicle, then it's hybrid electric and hybrid vehicle.
Okay.
It's just an extra for interest.
Okay. It's under number one.
After EVs, comma, hybrid, the extra.
Section two definitions under number one. It's the first hybrid. First time definition hybrid. Okay. Now we're on section 5, page 4, the Green Fleet Policy Strategies, number 3. We're going to include, I guess, insure a minimum of 5% of the fleet by 2020 or green vehicles. Thereafter, annually, a minimum of 20% of passenger vehicles purchased, leased, or otherwise obtained will be green. And you're going to take out that a minimum of 5% of the fleet by 2020 are green vehicles, purchased, leased, or otherwise obtained will be green vehicles. So this one, you know, that's all going to be removed.
This is a typical thing in that same one where it starts to be unedited. It says, and green vehicles that quantify probably qualify.
What are you looking at, Tracy?
Right after that,
right below the red.
And green vehicles that qualify as
quantify. Oh, right. And please be over here because it's in red. I don't see it that well because I'm close. So.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of over sometimes I'll miss over.
What should make you a black and blue one next time?
What?
Black and blue.
I'll do a different color.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I'm just saying. So if I miss
over. Use black highlighter next time.
Jeez. Richie. Yeah, really. And it's quickly gone downhill. Yes, go ahead.
I just want to check with Kim and Amanda to see how, I mean, we're trying to do something that works for the fleet manager and also leaves us with a strong policy. And I just want to get some feedback.
Really, our purchases are going to fall into the green vehicle category. It's going to be the passenger cars. So, are we going to be buying 15 passenger cars by 2020? And my question is, is it, even if we bought 100% of
right.
what we could,
I know you're saying.
How many are we buying this year? Do we have any?
Four, five?
Four electric?
50 sheriffs.
These are all subject to appropriations in there. They're subject to double appropriations.
This is what happened last time.
So what are we doing? What's the...
I think it's fine.
I'm just going to get some feedback. So we're good with this? Committee?
Yeah.
You good with it?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right,
let's move on. I think it's probably as long as we're going to get the agreed to by everybody, so.
Yeah. 66.
I see the for all. In the policy draft, we had the emissions reduction 2025 or 2025. Is everybody okay with removing that?
Which one?
The policy. We have the emissions. I mean, I think it's more tangible. But I just want to put it to rest once for all. Everybody's okay with that?
Okay.
And emissions also. Very light vehicles. Because, and by the driver, quite frankly, because if you're driving a Prius and you're not driving it in the most energy efficient manner, you're going to have more of them. It seems like it would be very hard to quantify.
Not just how you use it, but in the ways that you drive it most efficiently, and then be able to monitor them.
Downhill?
Mm-hmm.
It was a comment that it was being held for future discussion. One representative possibly selected from
Section 6, 1.
Hopefully you asked me to do some research.
Right, in order to go over and answer the
Frankly, okay. I've been researching for hours on this, and what I started to do was, Krista was good enough to send me the policies that we use as samples of all. So I started with those, and what I wanted to look at clearly was what type of powers are inherent in those particular municipalities. And my conclusion is that they are predominantly legislative powers. Those municipalities don't have executive forms of government. So starting with the Dobbs Ferry, which is a New York State municipality, difficult the village. It's difficult to ascertain in other states what their, unless it's clear in a charter or some code somewhere, what the differences are, because different states have different authorizing legislation by the state, they have different constitutions, and they have different ways of governing. A lot of the states use commissions rather than legislative bodies. It was interesting, to say the least. So starting with the green fleet policy for Dobbs Ferry, what I did was I copied so all of you wouldn't have to rifle through all the tons of paper that I rifled through, the portion of the Dobbs Ferry. So you can pass these out. And here I found a very clear similarity to the one policy that we are currently proposing in Section 6, which is the monitoring the green fleet policy. If you go to Section 6 of the our proposed policy, and you compare that section with this, it's very similar in nature. The big distinction, however, with the Dobbs Ferry one is that it's the village administrator who appoints members of the review committee. And they go through various departments. Some are similar, some are not, but that's not the issue, at least as I see it. I see that this is a legislative form of government, that this has been modeled after, not an executive form. There are no separation of powers. Let me look at my notes and I can tell you a little bit more about Dobbs Ferry because I pulled up their charter and I pulled up the code and I looked at it. This particular Dobbs Ferry is, the code of the village of Dobbs Ferry provides for an appointed administrator. The administrator then appoints members of the monitoring committee. The administrator is not an elected official. For those of you who are here before charter, it's very similar to what the county had when it had an administrator in place that answered to the legislature.
So in Dobbs Ferry, they have an elected mayor and an appointed administrator.
Okay. The power to appoint and remove the administrator rests with the trustees of the board, not with the mayor. In fact, that administrator can even be removed by the board of trustees, subject to various procedures that have to do with due process, his removal is not subject to review by the mayor or any court or agency. It's very clear in their code. In fact, if they decide to remove him, that's it. There's no alternative. There's no recourse.
Well, this is like we had Darwell here.
And then Arthur. And then Mike. Okay.
Right.
So in essence, the administrator serves at the pleasure of the village board, not the mayor. They have a legislative form of government, no separation of powers. Okay. So then I looked at the city of Ann Arbor, Michigan, next, because I thought that there was a similarity in that particular code, and I'm going to give you the page. What they have is an establishment of a green fleet team rather than a monitoring team. Okay. So we will look at that, and you'll see that there is a similarity there as well. All right. Okay. Ann Arbor was the one that was fairly similar as well, based upon number four of the establishment. And once again, it's the city administrator who does the appointing. And in Ann Arbor, it provides for an appointed city administrator. He's not an elected official, nor is he vested with the power of powers that the county executive has. In fact, in the city of Ann Arbor, the mayor is actually a member of the council. Like your chairman is the presiding officer, has the power to vote as well. He's what they call the ceremonial head of the city. I don't know what that means, but that's what it says.
First among equals.
Okay.
The elected village mayor essentially has no duties with the administrator there.
Well,
if
there's an administrator. Okay. Appointments and they have an interesting way of setting up their administration. They have a city administrator and a section administrators. And from what I could ascertain from what I got off of Google and everything else, the appointment of the administrator is the council, the city council. And then he appoints the section administrators. But they also have the power to remove if they feel that they want to remove.
Correct, okay, so we don't vote. We don't
vote. Right, they're not elected, okay? City of San Jose, California has a city manager appointed by the city council. And I didn't pull that particular sample because there wasn't anything that was very similar to what you're proposing in section 6. But that's
it's not laid out the same way.
Yeah.
It has the same thing. It's a representation from food management.
Right. But it doesn't
Now, let me ask you this. Can we, because I see where we're going. We're not, this, all of them, all your administrators are appointed. None of them are elected.
Right. So,
I don't care where you look.
Okay, so here,
are there any counties in the country that have appointed?
Well, counties, you'd have to depend on the charter. You'd have to depend on the state legislation that authorizes them. So, yeah, I looked at counties. I looked at, for some reason, I looked at Illinois because I got confused with Indiana. And I looked at Indiana. I looked at Illinois. I found this from Krista, but it doesn't, it's a generic policy. There's blanks in it. Mm-hmm. I didn't find any county executives. What I did find, I went to Lake County in
Florida.
What?
In Florida.
In Illinois. Because that was, you know, the structure on the research engine that I was using didn't give me a lot of opportunity to find a lot of different counties. But this one, when I found it, at least gave me some inclination of how that county operates. And that county, again, has a county administrator appointed by the county board. And there's actually an organizational chart. And it shows you that the voters pick the county board members, the county board chairman then appoints the county administrator, and then all of the other departments flow from it.
Okay, so let me ask this then. What do we have to do, or what can we do, to include the executive office in doing and creating this?
So, it's my proposal to compromise Section 6. Rather than get into a battle between the two branches of government, because the county executive clearly is going to be in a position where he has to address this. And my inclination, and from what he's telling me, is that he's not going to be willing to accept this with the way it's structured. So how can we compromise this? So my proposal is that we set up a system whereby reports are generated from the various different departments that have a responsibility or a duty or have some knowledge as it relates to this Green Fleet policy, and that the review and the monitoring be done, and you could get these reports quarterly, which probably make a lot of sense rather than annually or monthly, but that would be up to you and your policy. But the review then should be by the standing committee or some committee you want to create as a legislature, the standing committee that's the committee that's responsible for environmental review. It is your policy. You should be able to review it and decide, is it working, is it not working, do we need to increase something, do we need to do something else, do we need to change it. I had another suggestion also that I wanted to make and I didn't back, and I don't think you can consider it. It's not something that's executive legislative. But when you talk about the numbers, the minimum, if I was writing this today, I would put something in there that says that number can be changed by simple resolution if you're going to adopt a local law. You may come to a point where you want to increase it, you may want to decrease it, you may want to do something other than that. And that's typical in a lot of local laws where you have
a situation. Has one, I think, in it.
We can just pass the fire resolution.
Just that particular section, that particular number.
Okay.
That
doesn't violate the county, that isn't about violating the law.
No. You can't change the whole thing, but if you put a mechanism in your local law that permits you to do it, you can do it. When you think that something's not going to be static, I mean, that it's going to change, and it may change. This is something that is new. This whole monitoring will probably give you an idea of what you need to do at some point to change it. You can go through the local law process, or you can, you know, figure out another mechanism. Ken gave you a good idea, too, in an appropriation. Which you may
want to
say.
Right. Thanks. I just want to say, I mean, I understand what you're saying. My thing is, if the policy is set, directing the county to implement this policy, why would the executive not want to ensure it's working with a group that has the resources? They work 40, you know, they're employees of the county, they're here every day. It's a lot harder for a committee of part-time people to pull this information. So, I mean, to me, if this law got passed with this language, I think, personally, if I'm there, I would embrace it and say, hey, I'm going to live up to this end. My staff is going to make sure that we're living up to the policy and the law, and we're going to dedicate our resources to make sure that you guys are informed. I don't see what, to put it back on a committee, is basically, it's got, then it's almost not, you know, the committee's not going to get the information. It's impossible. We're part-time people. And so personally, I'd rather veto it and say, I'm vetoing it. I'm okay with that. And then we know where everybody stands. Right? I mean, I just think...
Hey, I have a question.
Can I respond to this first? First of all, I believe the county executive does want some braces, okay? And he believes in that the policy is really a good thing for Ulster County. But he also is a staunch supporter of the charter, and there's clearly, in his mind and mine, a separation of powers here. He's the one who supervises, directs, and controls the department. That's the way the executive branch was set up by this
legislation. But the policies that we set, he directs the departments based on how we set the policies.
Yes, but you're directing him to do something in this particular. You're directing the county executive to do this. And that's where the issue arises, as I see it. Now, I haven't written a legal opinion on it yet because I thought maybe we could come here tonight and have a discussion about some way to address this. I understand you guys are part-time. I worked with you before the charter. I get it. But on the other hand, I keep hearing, well, we have the staff in the executive branch of government. Our manpower is limited in all of our departments. It's not like we have extra people to do all of these extra things, but we'll come to the plate when we have to. Right now, my staff is currently working with the Board of Health, the Department of Health, on the polystyrene rule because that has to be enforced. So this next step after this option of the local laws, how do we enforce it? Who does it? Whose responsibilities are what in that process? So Clint's working with Dr. Smith and her staff to get that together. And it's going to be more work for the Department of Health when that finally, they finally come up with the procedure and how this works, okay? And they're limited in their staff. Everybody's limited. So to me, it makes sense that why, if you have all of the information in front of you, you have staff also, okay? You have limited staff. I'm not saying that you don't have enough staff. That's really not my call, all right? But you have staff. They could put together the reports for you. And, you know, what we're proposing to send you is something that you can glean the information that you need readily, not something where you have to sit and pick and choose, okay? To make it sufficient so that the legislature, the monitoring of this, because it is your policy.
The styrofoam is our policy, too. But obviously, depending on all that work out in the field, it needs to be...
All right, hold on, Greg. I'll get to you. Ken. It's the county policy. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, Ken.
Thank you.
I'll get to you.
Would that satisfy your... Because I understand the concern about the legislature. I understand the concern. I don't agree necessarily, but I understand the concern about the legislature telling the executive to do something. But the legislature does have the ability under the charter to give additional duties to almost every department head. So what if we removed the county executive will appoint the members of this review committee with one representative from each department, blah blah blah, and it was agreed the following department heads shall serve on the Green Fleet Review Committee: the Commissioner of Finance, the Director of the Department of the Environment, and then go through, and we would have to remove the Fleet Manager and the Department of Health, because the Commissioner of Health does not have that additional language in their title under the charter.
I don't concur with you that the legislature has the power to direct the county department head to do something.
I don't know.
Supervise, direct, and control. It's clear in the charter.
Each one of the department heads under the charter, except for, I believe, the Department of Health, the Commissioner of Health.
Are you looking at the administrative code or the charter?
The charter.
There's two different parts. It's in the charter. And there's also language in
or any other duties by the county executive or county legislature.
But you're inserting, you know, your style of management on the county thing. For example, the county executive may say that, you know, future health really has no role in this review process. And she has no expertise in the purchase of vehicle or the maintenance of vehicles or around the environmental factors related to the current executives, you know, how he achieves the goals that you set out through policy, especially his purview. I mean,
I didn't write the charter.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, like, for example, I will be on the green team that we have internally, you know, and I'm not listed anywhere on here. I'm responsible for half of the departments listed here. You know, so again, but I can tell you that, you know, we're willing to provide on a routine basis that details, you know, here's our baseline, here's what we've done, here's what we've achieved. And it's really the purview of the legislature to look at that, what we've achieved based on your policy, and say, you know what, you've done a good job. You know, maybe here's some more, you know, we'd like to see more improvement in this area or that area, and then we would comply with that. I mean, that's really the policy making role here. And again, whether it's the Environment and Energy Committee that reviews those reports or not, and again, if those reviews are related to that in any fashion you like, because I would have the staff of the NSX, you know, the fleet manager, the coordinator of the environment, and others, to make presentations, receive input from the legislators and the board.
So my comment is in fact very, very, very brief, and I'm loath to ever correct B on anything, but it's county policies that be crazy. It's not a legislative policy. This is a county policy. We set policy for the county of Ulster. No, but you made the comment earlier, so therefore I just told me I apologize, but it's a county policy, it's not a legislative policy. The policy.
And this is under the code where it talks about how to do the county executive. It says that the executive has the ability to retain the county officer who shall perform a particular power or duty, the performance of which cannot be otherwise clearly defined by the charter, code, or national county legislature, and report any such determination. So that language lends itself to say that the legislature does get to say that director or county officer shall have a power of duty. And it is in the language here, if I may, in the charter.
But while you're looking, clearly in the charter it says that the county executive supervises, directs, and controls the administration of all departments. He also supervises and directs the internal structure and organization of every unit of the executive branch of county government. That's the charter.
But that's controlling it. It doesn't say anything about policy.
He also, determines which the county officer who shall perform a particular power or duty.
under the county executive in the administrative code as well as this road. L, in the administrative code. Mm-hmm. To determine the county officer who shall perform a particular power or duty, of the, not otherwise which Erica just states. And I see it differently. I see it as the county executive makes that determination. And reports
say not otherwise.
It says, power or duty if it's not otherwise clearly defined by the charter, code, or enactment of the county legislature, and report any such determination to the county legislature. If you're going to enact something that is contrary to what the powers and duties are in the separate branches of government, that's going to be an issue. I mean, the charter is the Bible as far as the county executive is concerned. And as I said, he's embracing this, but he wants to be able to participate in a way that doesn't infringe.
But let me ask you a question, Dave. Are we infringing on his rights as a county executive by saying, we're not telling you how to do it, we're just telling you what we want. And we're creating a policy that it says this is who would be involved. Now, if he can't appoint, then why can't we appoint?
Because you don't supervise and direct or control anything. You know, the county government has changed drastically since the days of the legislative form of government. The county executive has to be in charge of the operations. Otherwise, things just will not happen.
He runs the day-to-day activities. That has nothing to do with policy.
He also, every department head serves at his pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, but if I may. I'm sorry. Thank you. So, but D, I mean, even within this, I'm not necessarily arguing one way or the other, but just hear it out. I mean, it's saying a representative from each of these departments. It's not even, this document's not even spelling out that it's got to be, you know, this person, you know,
We intentionally left it vague.
No, what I'm saying, it just says representation from these departments, and these departments do seem to make sense because they also seem to basically pop up in other, you know, in other documents.
You're having the departments who are supposed to be enforcing and putting this policy into effect monitor their own work. Think about it.
No.
Well, you are. This is a monitoring of the Green Fleet policy. Maybe that's a misnomer, the name. Okay.
Well, no, the Green Fleet policy, we had talked about it. Maybe it didn't make it in there yet because we stopped talking about this until your opinion, but the Green Fleet plan is going to be created by the Director of the Department of the Environment and by the Fleet Manager in conjunction with the Director of the Department of the Environment, and then these
Well, you're talking about procedure then, just as you would talk about procedure in the enforcement of a lot of the local laws that have been adopted, okay? The laws get adopted, and some of them are very specific about how the enforcement takes place. In others, you leave it up to the particular person who has the power or authority under law, such as the Commissioner of Health, okay, or the Commissioner of Public Works, for instance, who has the power then to go ahead and enforce. And many times, that's not clearly set out in policy. It's something that has to be determined later on. It has to be determined by that particular entity, that particular employee, okay, here's my powers under public health law. How do I enforce this? What do I do? What's the due process that's necessary here? And, you know, the county has been successful in doing that. You've been successful in your policy for smoking on county property and other local laws that you've adopted, because that's what happens. Once you adopt the policy, then it's time for the county executive to enforce it.
But that was the smoking on smoking in county buildings. That was done long before he was.
But no smoking on county property.
All right. How about the gasoline issue with the credit and the cash? That's another example. And there are other examples. That may not be one of them, but there are other examples of how these things get enforced. Okay.
Tracy.
I mean, we're working hard to try and get a compromise with this meeting in addition to hearing the executive concerns. The first thing that comes to mind, you use a polystyrene example, which it was a it was intentional. Mary and I discussed it at length, and it was intentional to put enforcement in the
We talked about it.
I called Mike to talk about it to see what made sense, because the models we looked at didn't, some of them, as you're pointing out, some of them didn't spell out where enforcement was. Some of them spelled out enforcement more specifically than we did. We did spell out to a certain degree. But we could have, we didn't have to do the commission itself. That's what made sense. We could have left it blank because not chosen anyone, and then it would have been totally in the executive's hand. Or we could have chosen, I imagine, another administrator. To Ken's earlier point about, I see the problem with this as it directs the county executive to appoint the members. But I'm not sure that I can see the problem with a document actually appointing the members to a committee. And part of why I think we're trying to come to a place where we all understand is this isn't about this executive, where I understand this executive's talking about preserving his powers. At the same time, we might end up with an executive that doesn't work so smoothly with his department or her department, that doesn't create the same kind of cohesion, that doesn't have all these departments speaking to one another. So the concept of having the different departments beyond the two that are at the table currently and the two that are drafting the policy sitting down on some basis, and I think there, if this stays, there are issues which we talked about as we move on. We did just stop discussing, like there are parts that I have problems with. But the concept of having a review committee from within the executive side of government with the department heads or whomever makes sense sitting at a table and doing exactly that, reviewing the policy, to me is something that's protective of this moving forward through multiple administrations. So that's kind of where we're trying to find the balance of where this makes sense. And it also worries me that I totally understand the executive's concern about preserving executive power. I get that. But at the same time, I'm not clear, and it kind of goes to what Peter said earlier, I'm not clear that the legislature, based on the little that we just heard, but also what we've already done, that the legislature doesn't have the power to say, there shall be a review committee and it shall consist of X, Y, and Z.
I think that I disagree, and I've been down this road many times about the separation of powers issue. So that's been my position. It's been the county executive's position. And I know we always talk about who could come in the future and that sort of thing, but you can't control the future, okay? You can only control what's happening now. And even if you write it in there, there's no guarantee that it's going to work the way you want it.
Can you then explain, for using the polystyrene as an example, how does the legislature have the power and the ability to direct the Commissioner of Health to enforce the law?
I think in that instance, there was a lot of discussion, and the conclusion was that under public health law, the commissioner has certain powers that she can exercise. Okay, so who would be the best one to exercise this power out of all of the authorities given to someone under state law? Okay, mm-hmm. She has the power under public health law. That's where it belongs. Just as the federal law is. Now, who has the power there to enforce that law? Well, it's obviously the sheriff or any police agency. So you need to be at least cohesive with other laws that relate to the legislation that you're adopting.
But in that law, weren't we directing the Commissioner of Health? I mean, weren't we giving the Commissioner of Health a duty to enforce? And what the law, didn't the law, I mean, I know what the law said, but the law said the Commissioner of Health shall enforce the law. So we the legislature, by adopting the law, are directing the Commissioner of Health to enforce the law. I think he was trying to soft it. But there's a distinction here. This is not about enforcement, monitoring.
It's monitoring.
In the case of Rosemary, it's not just about enforcement either. The Commissioner of Health has the authority and the duty to educate, all the components of that law fall on the Commissioner of Health. And that was that was a carefully thought out and pointed decision that involved discussions, but strictly on the face of passing legislation, the legislature was giving that
I don't understand why this is such an issue. Trying to have the legislature and the county executive's office cooperate in developing this. Whether it's a legal issue or not, I don't see why it is such an issue that it's holding everything up. I really don't. I'm the last one to say anything. I am. I mean, for the most part, even this is like...
Can we get out of this?
What?
You
know what I'm saying. I want to see us cooperate. I want to see us get it accomplished. But I'm just frustrated. One moment, I'll get to you. I'm just frustrated at this point because we're not moving anywhere. And I don't want to waste a lot of time and keep doing this month after month.
Well, if offered a compromise, maybe the compromise can be thought about and worked a little bit differently, but at this point, this is the offer that's on the table, and I think it's workable. I think that if you have the information that you need, this is about information, you know, no one can monitor without information, obviously.
Right. But
understand the intent is to have these representatives in the department be there, but without this actual documentary evidence of what's happening, you're not going to be able to monitor.
But let me state this then. I cannot, using your logic, I cannot go to those departments and tell them to do that because they work for the executive. So I have to ask the executive if the executive will do it. And if for whatever reason it's not the same executive or the executive for whatever reason says no, then this whole policy is a moot point.
Well, unless he's able to exercise his authority to supervise and direct and control the department, then
he is controlling his department.
Then lots of things may or may not happen down the road. The efficiency of the government is responsible for it, the response to certain emergencies, things that get done on a daily basis that happens within the executive branches of government is not something that we sit around and talk about.
But Ways and Means has a question regarding finance. They just do what they have to do and somebody's there.
I don't see that. There's been any question from the this particular group regarding this about anything that you wanted or needed. I think that there's been a lot of cooperation so far. You've had people from the departments. You've had, you know, whatever information we can provide you with that exists now, okay?
Mr. Chairman, can I just jump in real quick? Again, we keep going to what's happening now and what's occurring now with this set of legislators and this executive. But when we're dealing with charter changes, as you well know, and I know that you didn't change this other staff's position earlier, but you know, you don't just write a charter for what happens now. You write a charter for what happens 10 years from now and 20 years from now. We are slaves, you know, as a legislature, as a legislative body. We are essentially slaves to the information given to us by the Office of County Executive. Not County Executive Hines, but the Office of County Executive. So if the report doesn't come with any kind of specific detail, then what in the world would this legislative Green Fleet Monitoring Committee do? Or the Oversight Committee?
An issue that's lacking here is what kind of detail and what kind of information is going to be pertinent and relevant.
Because first off, Chairman, I knew what you were saying. All right, that's first off. But secondly, you know, while I understand the overall concern, the overarching concern, I don't see it necessarily in this particular document. While I understand the concern with regards to the ability of the executive to be able to manage, you know, effectively and efficiently the totality of the staff, it's not as if somehow in this particular instance that we are in any way encumbering that. And secondly, or maybe thirdly, I don't know, whatever I'm up to at this point, if we are trying to work together, right, over time, and it's a bunch of money, the charter. Now, myself and Lipster Bartels are probably, I think, the only two remaining from the, you know, infamous Government Efficiency and Reform Committee headed by Lipster Bischoff, in which we had to go mark up the charter and deal directly with the Charter Commission. Like all governments, like the federal government, state government, over time, things develop, you know, partly because of the administrative code, but in addition, just shall we say, just informally, you know, certain opinions about what those words mean begin to actually just sort of just to take form and actually harden. And we can probably spend many, many hours debating what your interpretation of certain sections are. I just don't see in this particular instance, in this particular piece of legislation, and again, I'm not even that wedded to this, but as we've gone further down this road, I'm suddenly developing an opinion. But I don't see this being that huge a stumbling block.
Well, I respect your opinion, as always.
I respect yours.
I clearly see an issue of separation of powers here. I mean, that's what this charter is based on. It's based on a separation of powers. And so...
Conceptually, yes, but there is...
Usually it is. It's a separation of powers. And that's the form of government that was chosen. So, to me, this impinges upon the separation of powers. So, if there's some way that we could compromise and get what we need to get done, efficiently and amicably, that's what I'm here for, okay?
Do you have either of your proposal written down, by the way?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, we're going to need that first and foremost, because right now, I mean, we're dealing with what we have, you know, before us. So, can you provide that?
Absolutely. Well, and in all due respect, I was...
Yeah, I understand.
We talked about this at the last meeting, and I said, I'm going to do as much as I possibly can to get back to you. And, you know, this is not the only thing that happens in county government for me, okay? And my staff. So, what I'm telling you, I spent hours on this. That's not, and personally, okay? Right now, I have one of my attorneys working on your take-home policy, because that's something else that we need to address, okay? And they're doing a comparison of the SOP, the take-home policy, and all the civil service issues and the Taylor Law and everything else that applies to it. So I'm here to help you, okay? But I'd be happy to propose something in writing, okay? As a next step.
Erica, you have something you want to say?
The model for the food policy wasn't just picked out arbitrarily. It was picked because it's successful. And one of the things that, in my research on the issue, is that they've all said that the success is because the stakeholders partake in the process and the decision making. And what the legislature is trying to do here is the stakeholders, for our purposes, are the people that are enumerated or the departments that are enumerated in Section 6. So that's the whole thing, is trying to get the people that have to plan it and administer it, because they call it the stakeholders that buy into the program, is to have them partake in all of it. And there's also an incentive to try to get everybody to be innovative, make that, I think, a little bit of fun. It's always a lot of fun and it wouldn't work. But that's the whole part of it, is that there's a success out there, and based on it, it's just having the stakeholders involved. Is there any possible way that we can find a compromise between here to have the stakeholders and making sure that the people that are implementing these things, you know, address your concerns and have the legislature achieve their goals here? Because it's really about the stakeholders. Some of them also talk about having outside people, but I think that makes it more cumbersome, you know. There's a lot of people that, you know, a lot of our constituents, there's a lot of constituents that came to a couple of meetings that really care about this, but kind of limited to what's sufficient. But that's really what this is about, is making it successful. And these people have the ability to make it successful.
And we found the area in the charter.
Yeah, okay. Sorry,
That was 15 points ago.
Here, just under the Commissioner of Finance, it says, have all the powers and perform all the duties conferred or imposed by law upon a county commissioner of finance to perform such other duties required by the county executive or county legislature. Okay. So it's a matter that this is a duty that could be enacted by the legislature to require them to undertake this.
It was my intention when drafting this to not pigeonhole the executive into one individual person, but to allow him to choose from the many people he oversees in each of these departments. But if the county executive would prefer us to just assign a new duty, then that's fine with me. I am open to a compromise, but I'm also not going to, and I understand due respect to your time and all the time that you've spent on this and all the time that you're
I'm not asking for accolades, okay?
This is something that, I had 6 hours, 7 hours in the car today, so I've had a lot of time to think this through, because this has been a very frustrating thing for me. And, the legislature, part-time legislators have been asked to act in 8 days on the DEP agreement. And, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like that doesn't have an effect on my appreciation for all the time that's spent going over one small section of a local law that we're passing. I'd like to have 3 months or 2 months to go over the contract with the DEP for the Ashokan property. So while I am open to a compromise, I will personally allow it to go on for one more month before I'm just gonna stop compromising and put the local law to a vote as it's written.
Well, I also respect your opinion, as we'll try to do something that's acceptable to both sides, the executive branch and the legislature. I'm not confident that's going to happen.
Me either.
I dwell on one issue at a time. Otherwise, this multitasking thing doesn't work. It really doesn't work. They say that people talk about it, it doesn't work. So it's
Believe me, we understand.
One issue at a time, and I'm not here to argue with you about anything else but this particular issue here, and I don't want to argue with you. I want to be able to come to you with something that is acceptable to you and acceptable to the executive. Okay?
And understand full well that it's entirely possible that may not occur. That we may get to an impasse and we'll have to, the legislature passes laws, the executive signs their vetoes, or sends back on signed laws, and that'll be that.
Go ahead.
I just want to provide just a little context around the process, but I think it might just illustrate how we go about things.
If I could.
One more,
before. Okay.
And then I guess
think it might be helpful, because it's notwithstanding the fee and the executive's concerns, I think we need to look at this section a little further.
We do.
Beyond, so, and Amanda's insight might be able to...
Amanda, continue.
Just in terms of how... From the examples that I saw that, you used to kind of draft this policy, I don't think any of those organizations have the level of insight that we now have into our fuel and our vehicles. So that's number one. So where these different places, whatever form of government they are having to physically bring people to the table to talk about things, to really have insight into operations.
You and I divert on that totally. I'm sorry. This whole model is based on, this is one from Illinois. So, it's not just, are you saying it's a smaller fleet?
No, but there's a level of hands-on knowledge that we have about what's going on. That as far as, there's kind of two purposes to the committee. There's being able to oversee the operations, and then there's also, it's a venue to get people to share ideas, to get outreach components of it, that kind of thing. When it comes to increasing the amount of gas, what vehicles are out there, there's very tight control by the DPW and the fleet manager. All those records are, every single transaction goes into a database and the vehicle track. Done. You don't have to go and ask the department head for their records. That's not how it's done. So that's all centralized.
So then there's another function of this committee, in my mind, which is like the kind of the sharing of ideas, the round table, the asking of people and asking why this is important. And that's almost, you know, that's, again, something that we try to do through the coordinated departments model, which is a company environment, but that's part of the whole model.
How this executive operates.
Right.
We're not building a law for this executive.
Right. So here's the other thing. When I look at this list, these are not the people that I would choose on the table. Who would you, you know? So, where's he at? It's not the same.
Hold on a second, because the Transportation Department is on there. That's the Department of Planning, the Department of Economic Development, and the Department of Transportation. There's the three different departments, one of which would serve on there.
But then you should have just written
planning,
you down there.
Planning, Economic Development, and Transportation, and not three different departments in the county? There's the Economic Development Alliance that I guess they work out of the county executive's office. But again, regardless of you know, we could put six or seven members of the county executive choosing who he feels would be most qualified to do so, and he would still have the same problem with it. So we're not getting any closer.
But, how I see the team most valuable for the county and most valuable for getting at the goal is to convene this group as part of a bigger foundation. So it's one major agenda, and we want to do one group to have a group of people to talk about energy efficiency, and another group of people to do this. So I'm going to have a day and I'm going to have twice a year to go over Green Peak.
So you'll never get anything done.
When you
put that many people in a room, you won't get anything done.
You know, from my car, as far as how do you make this work?
Can
you clarify that? I'm just confused when you say you want to get everybody at the table. What exactly would mean? And again, this is kind of... because I think that's what we're trying to figure out, how to make that happen. Beyond this executive, how to make that happen.
There's got to be a way to monitor this policy. And the only way you're going to monitor it is if you have some sort of a committee that looks at it a year from now and says, did it work?
At the end of the day.
And how are we going to move forward?
There's definitely going to be a report, a yearly report, that you know, you're doing the
data right
now, that has all the data, all the information, all the data. Whatever metric it is, it'll be able to come up, it'll come out of that report. You know what I mean?
Just looking at the other advisory committees that have been formed since I've been on the legislature, it just seems to me that one way to do it might be director of finance or designee, director of environment or designee.
I don't think we can make our own designee if we're going to state of the charter. I'm sorry, I cut you off a minute.
Okay, well, that was just a thought. I was just trying to figure out how to get around
to a point, according
concern about separation of powers. And
yes, it has to actually be the commissioner or director, though, because
and the fleet manager and the safety officer.
Can I ask a question?
Do you think that the might go for something like having a committee and he figures it out and do some reporting? Is there a way to kind of like
establishing his own, this legislature, as far as advisory committees are concerned? Both the legislature and the executive has the authority.
No, I know that. I'm saying something more like
the executive shall convene a committee.
Yes. To implement this, more general language about it than the shall. But do you think he would go for something a little bit more general?
I think
you
want to
talk about
that. I think we can. Okay.
So maybe is that kind of a compromise? Because, I mean, I hear what they understand to some degree. I mean, these people weren't picked out of a hat. There's definite reasons why they were picked. And you and I had some conversation about that. Because you thought I was crazy about safety.
I never said that.
Well, if you mean crazy. That's fine. She's right. So I can't argue that. But I'm just thinking, is it possible that maybe we do a little bit more general and have a little bit instead of more specific?
Yeah,
It's possible. Okay, go for a little bit of that instead of like, okay, because I mean, I get it. I mean, there's a lot of people on this, but there's a reason. It's not arbitrary.
What Leanne is trying to tell you is that the work that gets done and the work that will get done on this is not about a group of department heads sitting around a table at a meeting going all this. The work that gets done in a county is when, and I loathe them, I'm going to tell you the truth because I'm an attorney. I'm going to go to another meeting today, okay? And I'm going to sit with Amanda. I'm going to sit with Tim, and I'm going to sit with someone else. You know, it may or may not be the commissioner of finance. He might be the person who has the most expertise in the area that we're looking at. And we're going to sit there, and we're going to pound it out, and we're going to figure it out. It's not... This model seems to be a model where you're going to be directed to convene all these people to sit around and talk about this. You need data, you need information, you need people that have expertise in the area who have figured out the answers to the questions that you have. And that's the model that I see.
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
I know, but it's not coming out the way it is.
Well, then...
Well, I don't know that I agree with that.
But you think a little
something. All right, let's look. We can keep beating that. I'm going to move on.
So we've heard the discussion about the membership. They're going to discuss that. I do think that whatever we're going to do is important. Okay, moving down to number three, on an annual basis, the fleet manager, however, whatever language, in consultation with the head of the Department of the Environment, every time the manager's mentioned in here, we stay in consultation with the head of the Department of the Environment.
Yep.
Shall submit a draft green fleet plan to the Grand Fleet Review Committee, how vehicle procurement, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so next, number four. Strike each, and read the green fleet plan shall be reviewed by the review committee for overall conformity. Strategies outlined in section 5. Inadequate plans, that's the lead from then on.
Yep.
Strike each.
Because we're not talking.
It's no longer multiple plans.
Down to, I have real issues with 5 and 6 in total. I mean, I think. Because we're not having multiple plans, I'm not sure who's getting like
5. I mean, you know, I like this part, so I'd like the opportunity to try to save it. But, you know, one of those things is like the most innovative idea, change, etc. to the green fleet plan, you know, it's an award.
Okay, so let's think about that.
I knew you were going to fight on that one, even though I'm saying myself. I tried cutting it 2 months ago.
I'm not going to fight really hard to save it, but I want the opportunity. 6 weeks to be redrafted.
I'm not going to fight it. It's going to be for the
plan. Right, exactly.
So
yeah.
If you want to think about putting in your idea and you recognize or whatever, however you want to. And then six.
I have a six, so if you're going to look at that, then that's all I need to say.
Okay, let's go on to the next thing. We're done.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
all right. So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to postpone resolution 109 until next month.
That's okay. Fine.
Thank the authors of the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission, as well as the members themselves, because we did find, a couple of qualified candidates from the general public, and we ended up settling on somebody who works for the New Falls for sustainability, and has been a real asset, and somebody who thinks critically and actually has an experience at the same time, but not wedded per se to the usual interest groups. So I think we did actually find somebody.
Okay.
Myself and Tracy serve on the Soil and Water Conservation District Board of Directors. We have been talking about doing an audit. There's not been an audit of soil and water. Their annual audit that they do consists of three farmers balancing a checkbook. I want to make a motion that this committee endorse Tracy and I having out of the legislative budget a audit of soil and water. There's not money left. It's going to be minuscule. Enough money left over from the money that was budgeted for the audit of Elliott's.
But before we do that, can we get a price?
I can't resist. Have we asked the controller to audit soil and water?
We want an external audit, I think.
What?
Yeah, we talked about it.
I heard he's got a TPA.
Does he?
Really?
Rumor. That was a rumor.
Do you want to try his office first?
That's all I know.
Do you want to ask his office first?
No.
We specifically thought that it should totally de-politicize it and central firm and the firm is doing it for us.
That's his job. He's a voter.
Well, theory.
No, we have board.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not a lot of money, but that's sort of just like not the point. You know what I mean? It is sort of like huge if you got like a manageable department, right? You know, it's not a full department, but you know what I mean? Like an agency that we provide a significant amount of financing for, and yet there is a little bit of pickiness in that. You know, there's federal funds, you know, mixed in with county funds and state funds and outside funds and whatever, but by the same token, it's actually a fairly manageable unit, and in many ways that would be sort of like a good thing to actually have the office actually do. It's not like it's DPW. It's not like, yeah, I know you're shaking your head, but that's not the point. I'm just saying that there is sort of a case here to go deal with DPW that it's manageable and could be...
Does the controller have the ability to...
I think he can audit anything.
Or anything wrong.
Within the
county. Could he audit family Woodstock if he has to...
I'll tell you, that's where it's at.
I
had a lot of conversations started.
Is he allowed to do enough?
This is where we get into...
I would imagine if they get county funds, he can audit.
Yeah, I was going to say... This is where we begin to get into the
$1 million to build the building. Yeah. Can you audit
if
that?
If you received $1 million in county funding, he could audit you.
That's not true. Right. He can't win it. So let me just ask you a quick question. Ulster County pays probably Verizon $200,000 a year for their phone lines.
Yeah.
Could Elliot Auerbach, as our county auditor, go to their headquarters in New York City and audit all their books? Did you
know No. Which is why I'm saying
hold on, one at a time.
And now it's all coming back.
Yeah.
That is why we Ken and I discussed and we talked about, okay, what about the comptroller? In fact, the board of film said, what about the comptroller? Because they were thinking they were
paying for it.
And we said, We don't know if it's going to set a precedent because of all the agencies we give money to, and then we start with, what, it's going to be the library, it's going to be the ARPS, it's going to be Family of Woodstock, it's going to be, and because we're not talking about auditing the contract by any means, we're talking about a full audit of their books.
And I was confused the point already, but I'm sorry. I know where you're going with it. I got it.
I think it's important that we the Stormwater Board is open to the concept of repairs.
So where are you at?
I'm fine. I'll second it.
We're going to run over first, yeah.
And you're just asking for us to
Ignore the
board or whatever, yeah. For an undisclosed sum. All right.
Okay.
But it's in our budget.
Tracy, just open the deal.
Okay. So, one more thing. Yeah. Maya, I have down here Climate Smart Committee up there.
Climate Smart Committee update. Okay.
You don't have to. If you don't have anything,
yeah,
don't worry about it.
I don't want to leave you.
Actually, I am going to take 5 minutes. No. Don't need you.
I have nothing urgent on Climate Smart.
Okay.
Some of the things I'm working on.
If I may, so is it on the agenda with regards to and Manna and Tracy and Richard's not the group, so too bad.
The dump committee?
What's that?
The dump committee?
It's not the dump committee because that's not necessarily where we're going to go with it, but who knows? We did go visit Rockland County. And we actually got a really great tour of all the various facilities, as well as understanding what, you know, a county of its size, its population, what they're doing for diversion, but they're actually so much in the same boat as we are. So we're going to continue that process of going around. It's somewhat of a dog and pony show, but we actually are actually getting some interesting looks and some interesting data.
Good press in the paper this morning.
What's that?
Good press in the paper this morning.
We also did go to the waste energy facility again.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure that was on the record, and now I'm back.
Okay, I just have one thing I want to say.
Okay,
it's regarding the time of the meeting.
Yeah.
And the day. There is an issue with Mary Warro. Warro?
Yes.
How does this committee feel about being more accommodating?
I thought we moved into this time to accommodate Mary Warro. I would love to be as accommodating to my member as humanly possible.
I think the newest concern is that it's coming right after public work
and reducing
their meeting time.
Well, right now there was an issue with that, but we got through it tonight.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with it. I'll be honest with you. I can walk out of that meeting unless the meeting is no longer a quorum. And I can, as long as we have enough people, usually we get everything done.
Did indicate today, I'm from the, if there was a desire to move, the second Monday is an open spot.
Okay. All right. So I'm very confused because we moved off. I thought we moved off Wednesday because Wednesday didn't work for Mary, right?
Thursday after Public Works because that worked for Pete and Mary.
Okay, but now it doesn't work for Mary, so now it's just a thing where we need her to kind of actually really
When was it? Did she give you a reason why she couldn't be here tonight?
Okay, no. I'm not asking for the reason. I'm saying, when is that? When you're scheduling, we're scheduling the trip. What is good? How about that?
We looked at her calendar of what was the conflict today.
Yeah.
She does not expect that to be a problem in June for the meeting. She does not expect.
Okay, so this might not work. So this might does work for Mary theoretically. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
What instance work with it? If it's a systemic thing, then we have an issue.
I won't oppose it. Okay. Anything else?
Nothing, Mr. Chair.
Who's in third? Second?
Yes.
What was the third?
Aye.
All right, get out.